broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
Welcome to the Vistage Executive Summit here broadcasting in Boston. I'm delighted to have with me in this segment Bob Allard. Bob is the managing director of Extension Engine. And Bob also sits on the board of NAFTI, which is an organization that's going to be receiving a big check today from Vistage. And so I would love to talk with you a little bit about both. Tell us, first of all, what Extension Engine does.
Yes, great. Happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. Extension Engine is a 15-year-old technology consulting firm. We focus most of our energy right now in the world of online learning. So our clients are Harvard, MIT, they're major organizations like the Smithsonian, corporations like Boeing,
I've never heard
Johnson
of those.
& Johnson. I know, it's a who's who, McKinsey. I mean, it's a fascinating list of big, big corporations that need help kind of strategizing and then executing on an online learning plan. Corporations like, again, large corporations, but also Harvard Business School and Harvard Medical School are seeing the world of online, of technology-enabled education as a way for them to both extend their brand and grow their market share, and also give back to the global community who are really desperate for knowledge and ways to in a cost-effective way achieve educational goals. So it's an unbelievably interesting time for my organization. We have almost 200 folks. Many of them are actually based in Central Europe in Croatia, where we have about 175 or so software engineers. And then in Boston, we have product strategists, project managers, instructional designers, graphic user experience designers, and management folks. So we've been around for 15 years. We're very excited about the future, and it's just fascinating work with some of the smartest people in the world trying to solve what I think is the biggest problem, which is how do we educate everybody so that they can become their best version of themselves, their highest and best use of all of their talents.
I have a confession. So I read the blurb on Extension Engine, and I was like, I have no idea what this company does.
That's a terrible blurb. I need to get a better blurb. Okay, well, let me work on that.
So I work for McKinsey, right?
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, I work for McKinsey. Like, what does the... Is it software? Is it like a platform?
So it's ours.
Okay.
So smart people helping solve problems with technology. So McKinsey Academy is mm-hmm. is an organization that we're helping. Essentially, there's a ton of...
So that's like the thing that the new people come in and they kind of take them for a couple weeks?
I actually think it's a couple of different things. You don't know what McKinsey Academy is?
No, I remember it. It was like a couple of weeks they had us when we first started. They had took us through and so it's an indoctrinated.
Online, there's an online version of that.
Okay, so this that dates me a little bit.
I think so. But I think it's also a new thing where they're also pushing it out to clients. Mm. So it's the level below the sea level, I believe. That was okay. What I was told by somebody. Okay. But in any case, that's very much what's happening. At J&J, we have a client. Ethicon is a subsidiary there. And it is a company that sells many medical devices. So their channel partners are surgeons. And so they need to get these surgeons to know about the products and know about the science behind the products so they can be more effective at deploying them intelligently and correctly. So they need to get these surgeons to learn this stuff. So they needed to have a way to get that information into the surgeons' heads without flying them all to some place for a week and take them off the surgical line and have them actually, just do it on their own time, which is exactly what online learning is perfect for. You can have people working, taking the course at lunchtime or at nights or on weekends, whenever they want, frankly, and you have this efficiency of both the distance learning issue and ability, but you also have the ability to improve the pedagogical efficacy and the real learning. So you're not just sitting people in a room. You're not just sitting people. There you go. In a room and talking at them. You're actually engaging with them, and the information is you can tell if they've learned it or not. Right? It's a fascinating thing to be able to really measure learning, which is really where technology is beginning to have an impact on the whole learning process at all ages. It's fascinating.
So you have the webinar and the people who do the webinar for the surgeons? Do you help produce the webinar?
Oh, gosh, so it's way beyond a webinar. Yeah. So,
okay, so you said online learning. So I'm thinking webinar. Yeah, like, help me get there.
So distance learning is the old thinking around, it's essentially a video camera in front of a teacher. And that's the education, right? It's you sit, you listen, and then maybe you take a quiz or something. So what's happened is that the ratio of video to other kinds of engagements has dropped dramatically. It's probably in the 25%, go ahead into 15%, where you'll be consuming through video. And then there'll be lots of other ways of actual learning, where it's practical engagement with an idea. So you're doing what-if scenario analysis. You're doing gamification scenarios. We built a piece of technology so that the surgeon can actually manipulate the device and simulate actually putting it in and do lots of simulations around content and information and knowledge. It's taking all of the potential of all of the work that's been done to engage humans. And again, gamification is an interesting aspect where there's billions of dollars being spent attracting our kids to Minecraft and whatever other games that are out there. Taking that knowledge, that social experimentation that's been going on, and applying it to learning, to actual practical learning, is a big, big, big deal. And that's going to be happening for the next 10, 20, 30 years, I think, as education continues to expand into Africa and South America and Asia, and where people don't really have access to what we consider, you know, Western caliber schools.
So like a hospital will come to you and say, we need to train the surgeon on this thing, and then you'll figure the rest of it out.
Basically, yeah, although it's typically not the hospital that's coming to us. It's the corporation that's trying to get the hospital to do things, to sell, to buy things, like Johnson & Johnson. Large universities have been involved in creating what they call MOOCs. You may have heard of the term a MOOC. It's a massive online course. Massive open online course. So it's a free course. That's a research platform for understanding how people learn online. So that's why small colleges won't typically go and build MOOCs and give away, you know, their teachers' content, which is reasonable, right? But if you're Harvard or if you're Stanford or MIT, giving away all of the work that you have is just good business for them. It's great brand extension, and it's terrifically useful for the researchers to understand how they can then understand how best to teach online, which is a totally different thing than teaching in a classroom. So it's a fascinating time to be involved in both the experiments that are being done at the large university level and at the corporate level, where they need to create efficiencies and productivity, and ultimately at the research level, where we're going to learn way faster through this just enormous volume of information and big data that's flowing into these systems. EdX is one of our biggest partners and friends. EdX. EdX is a partnership between MIT and Harvard, and dozens of other universities now have partnered, Notre Dame, Michigan, Princeton, Stanford, and global organizations as well, like the Smithsonian, have partnered with each other, essentially, with this organization, through this organization called EdX, which is based in Kendall Square in Cambridge, right between MIT and Harvard, to create a platform for rapidly building these very high quality online courses, MOOCs, and then distributing them. And there have been millions and millions of students that have taken these courses over the last 3 or 4 years through the EdX platform. And it's just an extraordinary experiment, really, and display of true innovation, of really just brilliant people that are able to now leverage all of this amazing technology that's out there, mobile phones that are, everyone has a mobile phone now. So now you have the ability to go to MIT. And one of my favorite recent stories is a boy about 5 years ago was in Calcutta, and his father owned a restaurant, and he was bored in school, like you were, I'm sure, and like I was, right? And he says, well, I'm bored. I'm going to go online. He goes online and checks out the open courseware program that MIT had set up, where basically you can take any course you want at MIT online. Just take them. They're free. Just sit down, watch the teacher, take the tests, and just have fun. And he's 11 years old, so he's, you know, struggling, go figure, but he's also quite bright. And he, obviously, he's already at MIT doing that, right? So then fast forward a couple of years, he's taken 90 courses. He starts passing the tests. He starts actually understanding very complex things. As a 15-year-old, he is now officially, I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I read this article that was posted, so I haven't met the kid yet. He's at MIT. He's actually a student now at MIT as a 16 or 17-year-old boy. He moved from Calcutta. He's not in Calcutta anymore. He's at MIT. That is just a shockingly brilliant case study of what could happen mm-hmm. with the expansion and the reach that online learning can do.
So tell me, what are the implications for mid-market CEOs? So, you know, that's where we are right now, right? We're
sure.
at this stage, we're middle-market CEOs. What does this mean for this community?
Well, the challenge of the war for talent is a global challenge. My business is leveraging that because we have many of our engineers are based in Central Europe, where we're able to find really great folks and keep them, right? Our retention is quite high, and our ability to train and retain.
Have you been to Croatia?
Oh, many, many times. Sure. It's a fantastic country. It's about the size of Massachusetts. We're in Split and Zagreb. Split is the middle-sized town. It's Columbus, Ohio, or Worcester, Massachusetts. A couple hundred thousand, 200,000-400,000 people. Zagreb is Boston. It's 1.5 million people. The country is roughly the size of Massachusetts physically and also demographically. It's a couple, five, six, 7 million people. Struggling economically. They don't have a Western style entrepreneurial economy, a free market economy yet. It's going to take a few generations for that to happen, I believe. But they are in the EU now, so that gives their people a better opportunity to, frankly, go move somewhere else and, you know, go move to Germany or something and get a job. But frankly, the best people just would really love to stay and build a life for themselves and, you know, marry their high school sweetheart and have a job and make a good living wage, you know, a real wage. Mm-hmm. And we're paying them, you know, basically less than they would make in Boston. But frankly, everyone makes less than they're making in Boston, except Manhattan and London, I suppose.
Yeah.
But substantially more than their peers. So they're doing quite well. And it's a terrifically fascinating, for me, just a cultural education, right? To be part of a global economy and be part of the global workforce and really engage with them, you know, as friends. We're great. They're great people. We've been there 15 years, and some of my dearest friends are my partners there. And the engineers come to Boston, and they get to work for Harvard. I mean, they're just stunned at the luck that they have of being able to do such you know worthwhile work with their huge brains. I mean, these are really smart folks. So it's great fun.
So you're saying that CEOs can use this online learning platform to extend their reach and extend how much talent they have access to. Did I hear that?
I got a little distracted. I'm sorry. I think truly the war for talent is going to go on for a long time. We need to increase the talent pool. How do we do it? Well, education is the only way you increase the talent pool.
I distracted you by asking you about Croatia.
No, you're fine. No, it's fine. It's good. It's a conversation. So I think that online learning can accelerate the increase of knowledge growth. Right. I mean, there's no question that better education leads to higher, you know, potential economic output. Right. And so the question is, as people in, you know, seeking talent, I mean, unless you need to have the person sit next to you and do the work. And I don't believe that most of the companies in Vistage, if you're in mid-market, you're looking for smart, talented people and you'll figure out how to work with them. Right. I mean, whether it's a virtual CMO or a company, your software developers are in Croatia. Right. That's just being creative and looking at the world as it is today and where it's going. And, you know, if it's knowledge work you're doing, it's being done wherever the knowledge is. And what we can do through online learning is increase the knowledge base globally to meet the increasing demand for smart, educated and productive people. And that demand is only getting higher. And so our need to find the smart people wherever they are, whether it's Calcutta or Boston or, you know, pick a place in the world that has some really, really smart folks. And everywhere, there are really smart folks everywhere. They just don't have the equal opportunity to prove it.
I want to turn the conversation to NAFTE.
NIFTE.
NIFTE.
That's okay. The Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what that is and why Vistage has decided to make an investment in NIFTE.
Well, it's really exciting for me personally. I was chosen to be one of the local NIFTE 50, which is about 10 years ago. A friend of mine was the chairman of NIFTE in Boston, Peter Cowie, a great, great guy. And he invited me to be part of this dinner, which was basically invited a bunch of CEOs that he and the organization chose to be interesting, innovative CEOs that they wanted to get together in a room and have a dinner. So I went to the event. I was so impressed with the mission of and just a flashback. In my first job was a social worker. I worked with kids in the inner city in Baltimore. So I was I'm committed to figuring out ways to solve problems of essentially how do you get people into the economy? How do you get them to understand themselves as autonomous wealth creators, right? They're not, you're not a victim, and you're certainly, and you don't have to get a job. You can make a job. My first job was cutting grass, and you know, I was a paper boy. I mean, it was like that is part of my formation. It's hard to think of yourself that way if you're a kid in Baltimore. Just is the world isn't designed that way, and it's very hard for me to. Yeah, it was very hard for me at the time to figure out how to do that. So fast forward a few, 20 years, and now I'm figuring out another way to do that through Nifty. Nifty works with teachers in the school systems and certifies them as Nifty teachers. And it becomes a class that you take for credit to learn how to become to understand how business works and how entrepreneurship is an actual career path.
That you is it high school?
It's high school kids. Okay. We have some middle school kids. They actually have the curriculum can be applied in college. It's always the current mission is wealth challenged regions. So inner cities are predominantly the teachers and the students in the schools. So in Boston, we're working in Quincy and Dorchester, and so the Boston City Schools, Lawrence, Lowell. I believe we're opening into a school in Brockton, New Bedford. So the dense populations with lots of poor kids, and that's a really important group that they, frankly, again, they're all as smart as we are. They just haven't seen the models and the opportunities that they could create and take on those opportunities for themselves. So creating this vision, this path towards wealth creation is a really interesting, and it's amazing. Once they realize that they could actually do it, it's an amazing transformation of seeing themselves as having real autonomy, real power to actually do stuff for themselves. It's just brilliant. It's awesome.
And tell us about the Vistage Nifty partnership.
Yeah. So I was sitting in my, I was sitting at a fundraiser for Nifty, talking to some folks, and the question came to me like, well, if you're going to fundraise for us, who do you know that has a lot of money? And I'm like, I don't have a lot of friends that have a lot of. Most of my friends are just friends, right? They're neighbors and guys I know, and I don't want to hit everybody up to make. I'm not a fundraiser; it's not my thing. And then it occurred to me, I'm like, but wait a second. I'm in this Vistage group. It's really great. They're really great. They are friends of mine, and they're all running companies. They have money. It's like so I'm thinking, well, so exactly, a bell goes off. I'm like, I'm a little slow. It took me a few minutes to figure this out. And then I'm like, I actually do have friends that have money, but more importantly, I have friends that run companies.
That have skills,
and they're actually, and the funniest thing is I thought about it more as I started dwelling on this idea. I'm like, you join Vistage not to get help. Truly, I believe this. I know this for a fact in my group, and I'm sure it's true. You join Vistage because you can give help. And the help that, you pay all this money, and there's 15 people in a room, and you meet one day a month. Okay, so less than one of those days is going to be your day. The other 11 days, 12, 13 of those, you go past a year, it's going to be other people's days. So you're still there. So you're giving all of your time to help all those people. That's essentially what's going on. It's a great bait and switch deal in some ways, right? But the truth is that it does benefit you, obviously. But the people who are Vistage folks are natural givers. You can't come to Vistage and be a taker. It doesn't work. There's not enough time. So it struck me. I'm like, well, these are people that love to coach and give. And that's me. I knew that. And I'm saying, well, they're just like me. In which case, they're going to understand that this Nifty thing is how do we give to the next generation? How do the CEOs of today coach the CEOs of tomorrow? And that's all. And so interestingly, I fast forward. I asked the folks, my Nifty team, I said, how can we engage? And I talked to my chair, John Schaefer, who's a brilliant, one of the great human beings that I know, and just a fantastically thoughtful guy who's a giver. And I said, John, how do we do this? He said, well, just bring the kids in. Let's see what happens. So the Nifty folks brought we brought three or four of the Nifty students to come in to do a, not even to do a demonstration. It was really a kind of a try just to see what would happen. And amazingly, and not amazingly in some ways, but it was just a great validation of my idea, was that immediately the conversation went exactly like it goes in every Vistage meeting. What's your biggest problem with your business? let's talk, you know? And one of the kids was starting a skateboard company, and he's like, yeah, manufacturing is kind of tough at scale. I get these deals. How much do I charge? Pricing? I mean, it was all business stuff. And this is a, you know, kid with a real challenging life story. But we aren't talking about his life story. We're talking about his business. And he was just another CEO, which was, I thought, just fantastically, it was great for everybody. The CEOs were looking immediately, but frankly, one of the CEO stories, this woman who's a college student now at Suffolk University, has a company that's like a care.com for special needs. So special needs online babysitting. Mm. And she grew up as a special needs kid who needed a nurse to take care of her when her parents went out to dinner. How often did they go out to dinner? Never. You can't go out to dinner if you have a special needs kid. I mean, can't afford the nurse. It's a $300 dinner to go to McDonald's. So in any case, she started this company. She's received funding from angel investors. She was at the time 17, 18 years old. Brilliant idea. It's going gangbusters. It's fantastic. It's a terrific story. She's telling us the story. We're all like, this is the best business in the room. We were so impressed with her. And again, so we were able to kind of help her think through financial stories and pricing models and just the same exact stuff we do with all of our Vistage peers. So they became peers immediately. It was just really just fascinating.
Wonderful. And so what's going to happen with Nifty and Vistage?
Well, the short answer is we received the first ever Vistage donation to a nonprofit at the national level. I mean, the Vistage members are donors. They're massive givers. I mean, of all kinds. So the exciting thing for me is what the future could hold, which is that, you know, the thousands and thousands of CEOs that are Vistage CEOs that will now understand more about what Nifty is all about. And that can create just so much dynamism. My first hope is that more and more folks get involved and volunteer and go into the classroom and tell a story or coach and mentor some of these students, go to a business plan competition and judge, just engage with this population, with these kids, because the kids are awesome. And they're struggling with the exact same problems that we all are, which is how do we start a business? What do we do? How do we get customers? How do we keep, you know, how do we raise money? How do we do this really hard thing, which is, you know, start a company? And whether you're doing it at, you know, at 16 or at 60, it's the same problem. And it's really, really hard. And so getting help and getting advice and getting encouragement and all those things are hope. That's my first hope, is that we just get more and more Vistage CEOs to work with their local Nifty teachers and staff. And I think from there, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, ideally, they bring their company in to do coaching, mentoring. They obviously they donate money. But frankly, it's so much more about engagement, right? Because the need for this problem to be addressed and to be, you know, really a spotlight put on this idea that anyone has the potential to be a wealth creator. This isn't about jobs. This is about work. Be creative and work, solve a problem, start a company, and then do it more. You know, hire your friends and then grow. That's kind of what I did. I mean, in fact, my CTO went home and hired a bunch of his friends, and we started, and I was out selling and he was working, and next thing you know, you have a company. I mean, it is kind of that simple in a way, and it's also that hard. Right. So the idea is simple. How do you execute on it? What are the problems? And having someone with experience coming in and coaching you, mentoring you, that is absolutely the only way it's gonna work. It frankly, it's the only way it ever has worked. You know, you need help. And we're all
I mean, you know, business is an apprenticeship model. We all learn from each other.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for taking a few moments out of your day to share with us about, you know, Extension Engine and about Nifty. Really appreciate having you on the show.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.